Once more, Lord, we ask for those who are unsaved, either here or listening online, that the Word of God would be fastened to their hearts. The Spirit would speak to them and lead them to the Savior. Dear God, we pray that in every step that we take, we will know the Spirit's leading. We don't want, Lord, we don't want to walk by our own devices. We do not want to walk in our own path. We're asking, Lord, to be led without mistake, without deviation, in the center of your perfect will. Help us, Lord, because we acknowledge our weakness and how often our own arm has failed us. We don't want to take confidence in the flesh, nor, Lord, in the arm of strength. But Lord, we do want to place all our confidence and strength upon our God. Help us to walk more and more by faith and less by our sight. I pray, Father, that we would develop and grow in grace, in the knowledge of Christ, that each day as we get alone with our God in prayer and reading the Scriptures, that there would be new things shining forth from the Word, new things about our Savior. And that, Lord, our love for Him would be deepened. Our knowledge, Father, of Your will and ways would be broadened. And that we would lift up our eyes and realize the mercy of God that is higher than the heavens and deeper than the deepest sea. Lord, help us, we pray, to cast ourselves more willingly and openly upon Thy holy Word. Bless us tonight. Be with us in this evening meeting. And especially, Lord, as we read the Scriptures, as we are praying publicly and privately and quietly, as the Scriptures are read, as we open the Word later, and then after this service, as we meet around the table of the Lord, bless us. May we be closed in, Father, with Yourself tonight. Remember our sick ones again. Father, we know it's not a vain thing to bring names and bring our people to the throne of grace. And we do so again with all our hearts. We do so, Lord, longing to know that they will know blessing, healing, encouragement of heart. Lord, take away those depressing times being cast down because of just an ongoing battle with health problems. We pray for Serene tonight. Lord, come near to our sister and bless her. Strengthen her in her body. Touch her body that where she needs healing. Remember our sister Joan tonight and bless her and help her. We pray for Ron. Remember elderly ones that cannot be out at the service and have not been for a long time. Strengthen them in their hearts and minds, in their bodies. And Lord, I pray that they will experience the blessing. And even as we pray for them now, they would know the weight of it. Lord, how thankful we are for others who intercede for us in the time of our need. The time, Lord, when we wonder, does anyone care? And yet, believers are praying for us. And we are lifted up, Father. We are strengthened. We feel and know the weight of those prayers. What a blessing to have this fellowship, to know where one another there's love and care and concern. Help us, therefore, Father, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, bless us, we pray. Make us soul winners. We ask that in our personal testimony, You would open doors that previously have been shut, that You will allow us to witness to relatives. Sometimes the family is the most difficult to witness to. And Father, where there are children that are outside of Christ and relationships that have been fractured over years and circumstances, Lord, heal those, I pray. Restore fellowship. Bring loved ones to Christ Jesus. And Lord, may we all know what it is to have household salvation, blessing upon blessing. So hear our prayers tonight. Receive our thanksgiving. Remember again, Lord, those who are suffering for the name of Jesus. Again, we hold up the Christians, the new believers in Afghanistan, and we pray against the wicked and evil forces of men that are trying to stamp out your servants and the gospel witness. Remember Christians in Islamic countries, in Hindu countries, in places in China where there is no liberty and freedom. What about North Korea, Lord? We pray for Christians in that God-forsaken land. Lord, help, we pray, in this time. We enjoy a degree of freedom here, and we're thankful for it. Help us, Lord, to use the freedoms that we have for the honor and the glory of King Jesus. Bless us now tonight, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We'll sing again to the Lord's praise tonight. Jesus, thou joy of heart's desire. Number 9 in our hymn. Now we'll stand again to sing. We're going to read tonight for our congregational reading from Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. It is fitting. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery, with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our help, our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Well, this psalm is much about praise to God, much about thanksgiving, much about reflecting on our relationship to the Lord, because, well, he is our God. He is our King. He is the one whom we depend on for our strength. You know, believer, we can be at times tempted to rely too much upon ourselves, too much upon our own wit, our own ability, our own strength, our own victory that we think we have had in the past, and we try to project that into the future and say, well, I was able to get through it before, I'll be able to get through it again. But how important it is here, the Lord emphasizing to us as he uses the parallel or the illustration of a king not being delivered, verse 16, by the multitude of an host. Well, that's not the way the world thinks. It's certainly not the way kings in history have thought. They have thought that the greater numbers they have in their army, the more equipped that their soldiers are with spear and sword, the bigger their guns, the more bullets that they can discharge than the next guy, that's going to be their victory. Well, the Lord says, no king is ever saved by a multitude of an host, and a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. If that is true, if that is true as an illustration shown by the Lord, and things that we will put dependence in, a horse is a vain thing. Well, in the Calvary, as people were riding on their stallions and horses that are powerful animals and running into battle, they would think we have the advantage, the upper hand. But the Lord says, don't depend on things, because it is the Lord who is the one who gives us strength, who helps us, who enables us. It is God who goes in front of us. And therefore, more so as His people, as His children, we must take this to heart and realize in verse 18 it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him." That's the position I want to be in. I want to know with all my heart that God's eye is upon me. When He says the eye is upon Him, it means He's not only watching, but He's going in front of us. He is surrounding us. He is the one from which we draw our strength. He is our protector, our guide, our shepherd. He is our King. And therefore, let us hope in that tonight. And let us rest in Him. Now, believer, don't rest in yourself. Don't trust in your own ability. It has failed you in the past, and it will fail again. Just when we are tempted to lean on self, let us rather turn ourselves to lean and rest upon our God, who is our faithful Lord and our faithful King. May God bless His word to your hearts tonight. We are glad that you're here in the house of the Lord tonight. Thankful for your attendance and your fellowship, those who are regular attenders and those who are visiting tonight. We're very, very happy to have you. It's great to see Pastor Olson with us tonight. We're happy, brother, to have you in the service. And also, we're very happy to welcome everyone online tonight. And we rejoice that you are with us here in the house of the Lord. Let me remind you that we will be meeting around the table of the Lord after our service tonight to remember the Lord's death in His own appointed manner. Let me just say that if you know the Savior, you are welcome to fellowship with us and to partake. If you are not a believer, you're not born again, you're welcome to remain in the service, but we ask you not to take the elements as they are passed around. Let me also encourage you and say that those who are in the balcony, you're able to remain there as those who are serving will come up to serve you at that time as well. Let's continue to hold up, please, those in our congregation who are sick and need our prayers, and to encourage them by a phone call or a text or maybe mailing them a little card. Let them know you're thinking about them, and it will be very meaningful. Let's continue to pray for them. This incoming week is a busy one for all of our ministers and elders across the United States and Canada, as our presbytery will be meeting in Indianapolis, and some men will be traveling there in person, others will be meeting online, and so we would ask you to remember those meetings as we do join for prayer and for the Word of God being opened, and then also the business of the presbytery within our denomination. Please remember that. Now, on that matter, this coming Wednesday, our prayer meeting will take a different tack. We are going to ask everyone to remain at home on Wednesday night and at 7 p.m. to log in to Indianapolis FPC via sermon audio, where they will be broadcasting the message there and the meeting that night. There will be some testimonies from our missionaries, and there will be a preacher bringing the Word of God. Brother Armin Tomassian will be bringing the Word Wednesday night, Lord willing. And so please tune in there. Don't forget 7 p.m., not 7:30. So just remark that in your own mind and be there for Wednesday. So there will be no meeting here on Wednesday night in the church. Just be sure that everyone is aware of that. Next Lord's Day is Thanksgiving weekend. And we're looking forward to the visit of Reverend Ian Gallagher. He'll be preaching in the Bible class for the youth and adult, and then also in the morning service. We also have some very important presentations next Lord's Day morning to some retiring Sunday school teachers, and we're looking forward to recognizing and honoring them in the morning service. So please be sure you're here if you are one of those that is to be honored. On that line also, each year we gather and donate some dry food goods in order to be distributed to some local areas, some women's shelters, and those who are in need. So there is a box at the back in the foyer, And I would encourage you next Lord's Day or sometime through the week, if you need to bring things in, you could make arrangements to come to the church. But next Lord's Day morning, to be sure you bring all those, and we want to fill up that box and even to overflowing so that we can be of some assistance and help to those that are in need. On October the 13th, Wednesday night, so it's not this coming Wednesday, but the following one, we are looking forward to the visit from the Trinitarian Bible Society. There is a man who will be visiting who is a missionary, but also working on a translation of the Scripture in a foreign language. And I would encourage you, as we are very interested in Bible, faithful Bible translations, that you set aside specifically in your mind the 13th of October, and we're looking forward to that visit from the representatives of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Now in Port Hope at the end of October, a week of meetings, and Reverend Ryan McKee will be the visiting speaker, and we want to ask you to remember those meetings in prayer, and we of course are welcome to attend those meetings. Following that, on October the 31st, Reformation Sunday, Ryan McKee will also be the speaker for us and at those services. Those are all the ministry announcements we have at this time. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise. And number 334, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. If you have an offering for the work of God here, you may drop it off at the offering plate when you leave tonight. Remaining seated while we sing. Turn, please, with me again in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 8 down to verse 16. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Let's bow, please, and ask the Lord's help in our meeting now. Father, we have read the word tonight from Psalm 33, and here now in Hebrews 13. And Lord, our desire is that light by the Spirit of God would shine on the Scripture and in our hearts, to give us understanding, insight, instruction. Help, Lord, to direct us on our pilgrim journey. We're asking for help. Lord, I am asking for help tonight, as your servant, to speak the word of God faithfully, with clarity, with the power of the Spirit, the unction from heaven, that which is not man-made and cannot be imitated. Lord, grant strength and your power so that believers would be helped and blessed and edified, and that all of us in our journey of faith would be drawn to walk closer with our God. Save souls tonight, Lord, we pray. We ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to think with me tonight, please, and drawing our attention to verse 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. This morning in our adult Bible class, we read this portion of Scripture and looked at some of these verses, and I was really presenting our gospel possessions, things that we have in Christ Jesus, and thinking about the knowledge of these matters, well, it helps us, and it will be an assistance for us in our Christian journey, especially when we're attacked by Satan with doubts and discouragements, or when we may be persecuted for our faith. See, as believers in Christ, we are to look to Him as the source of all our strength and the source of all our joy. And what does it mean for us as Christians to look to Christ? Well, it is obviously going to be a look of faith, because we do not see with the natural eye our Lord. And so when we are saved, we think of ourselves as the servants of our God and Savior. And so we look to the Lord as our Master, with the idea and the intention of receiving direction from Him, and direction that will come through His own precious Word. But our Lord is also the great Shepherd of the sheep. And in that sense, we are His sheep, His children. And if we are going to receive the best feeding, well, we must stay close to Him. We must follow the direction of our great Shepherd. We will look to Him, keeping our eyes fastened on the Lord. But we are also students of the Word, aren't we? We're students that are to be watching and listening to the instruction of a teacher. Well, that goes as good advice, especially in our school. But all of us are students, you know. Being saved by the grace of God, we are to be instructed continually. There's never a day, never a time when a Christian becomes too old to say, well, I've had enough instruction, I don't need any more, I've arrived. No, we don't want to say that. We don't even want to ever think that. We have not arrived as God's people, and we're always learning. We always want to be in the spirit and with the attitude of learning. So therefore, as students, we will be watching our great teacher and listening for His instruction. And as soldiers, we must watch our commander to receive the direction for the action that we are to be engaged in. And so we were thinking about these things this morning, and also what was drawn out from these verses of Scripture and the blessings that we have as God's people. My, we have an unchanging Savior. Verse 8 tells us about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And we are blessed with discernment from the Word. Verse 9, we are not to be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. If you are in Christ, you have the blessing of discernment. We have a heavenly altar, an altar that those who are unsaved, those who are following another pathway, they have no right to eat at this. They're not invited to the altar that the Christian has, but we are welcome. We have our place set there, and it's a joy for us to come and fellowship with the Lord at the Christian altar, and what that means for us to give ourselves unto our great God. And what a privileged position and invitation that it is. We're called in verse 13 to go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing the reproach of Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus suffered and died outside of the gate of Jerusalem. He was crucified in a place of punishment, a place of scorn, a place where criminals were executed. But that signal and signification of being outside the camp. It's where the entrails of the animals that were sacrificed were taken to be burned. It was not a nice place. It was a place of uncleanness. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ went there outside the camp to suffer and bleed and die. He bore my punishment for sin. And oh, friends, we have so many of these Old Testament pictures that are given to us with a vivid description and illustration of the innocent one who died for the guilty one. Christ, the great innocent offerer of himself on Calvary. And you and I today possess, who are guilty, have been made clean. And therefore, as we think about going outside the camp where the Lord is, we do so with the intention of aligning ourselves with him. We do so with the intention so that we might testify of him, so that you and I will be able to stand with Christ. And yes, when need be, that we will be able to suffer with him. You see, that's all summarized and involved in what it means to bear the reproach of Christ. You know, these things and these steps that we are called to take and walk in as a believer, they are well-pleasing to the Lord. Our Father in heaven is happy when we walk upon that very specific pathway. For the joy that you and I have and the realization that on earth here, we don't have a continuing city. We don't have a permanent residence. We are actually of no fixed address here on earth, because we're on a journey and we're on a pilgrimage and we're going from earth to glory, to our eternal and everlasting home, and we will be with God there forever and forever. Believer, drink in the wonder, the splendor of that truth. We have a place reserved for us in glory. And so the truth of these things, it needs to keep us in perspective. It needs to keep our focus right, doesn't it? Mr. Spurgeon said, "If everything here is going, let it go. But we will not cease to sing. If the end of all things is at hand, let them end. But our praises of the living God shall abide world without end." All these pictures have passed away now, and the reality is known in Christ himself. And for the Christian, we go to be where he is. And by faith, we align ourselves and link ourselves with the Savior. And so in doing that, we come to offer unto God the sacrifice of our praise. And this is what I want to really focus in on tonight. I mentioned to the Bible class today that of the five things that I set forth from this chapter, the sixth one is what I wanted to dwell on tonight in our meeting. And this sixth one, it's a blessing that you and I have. We possess. It's part of our gospel possession, actually. And it is the blessing of worship. The blessing of worship. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Yes, we have an offering to give. We have a sacrifice to make. No, it's not with the blood of animals that we offer these things to make atonement for our souls, for that would be foolish. That could not be. It cannot be. The reason is that we could never depend on those Old Testament sacrifices or animal sacrifices that could not take away the sins of those people then, and it certainly could not take away the sins of people now. We do not do these offerings that are spoken about here in order to gain justification, but we do so in order to worship the Christ of God. We want to think about what the Lord means about these sacrifices, because we're specifically told in Romans 12 and verse 1 that the Christian is to present themselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and then not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might present ourselves, we might know His will, that we might go forward in His work. So I want us to think tonight about the sacrifice of worship and praise. Is this a part of our Christian testimony in life? Every time we gather for a service, we are singing. Every time we gather, we are praying and reading the Scripture when we hold a public meeting of this nature. And so therefore, to start a service with praise, with singing, it's not formality. God deliver us from such a thing. When any part of our service to God becomes just a matter of habit or form, it's dead orthodoxy. It's not good. And therefore, let us always approach the Lord with a heart that is open to realize that everything that we are doing in a public service of this nature is unto the Lord. And therefore, being unto the Lord, it must be an offering by faith. It must be an offering from our heart. I want to ask and set before you in the first place tonight the question, well, what is the meaning of this sacrifice of praise? In the holy place of the tabernacle, there stood an altar of incense on which the priests would daily offer to God incense that rose up to Him in worship and in praise. In Psalm 141 and verse 2, the psalmist prayed, "Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So David saw very clearly that the purpose of the giving of the incense was to allow the fragrance of our praying to ascend before God. And so, believer, as we offer in worship to the Lord our prayers and our praises, we are doing so and according to this very clear parallel. Yes, the Christian's prayer is lifting up praise to God as the sweet perfume before the Lord. This offering was done with the intention, with intention rather, and not by accident. It wasn't something casual. It wasn't something that was just done out of any kind of formality. It should not have been. And the Christian, we have the great privilege in both prayer and praise to God, the fact that we are invited to come and we are before the God of heaven giving our offering and our worship to Him. Is it accepted by the Lord? Oh, yes, it is accepted as it is offered in faith. For we hear those words that whatsoever is not of faith is actually sin. That's a very strong statement. And so for the Christian, when we come into God's house and we are offering and the sacrifice of our praise, it is offered through our faith. And as we do so, we come with a desire that God will both receive and He will do as we offer that in Christ's name. So this sacrifice or offering to God is one of honest and openness of the heart in singing and in praying and then living in the light of God's holy presence. How does this apply to us tonight? Do we take, my dear friends, seriously this Christian grace of worship to the Lord? Our God is great and greatly to be feared. And when we come to Him, it is to be in reverence and godly fear, not in a flippant manner, not with a carnal spirit, not in any kind of unholy or unsacred worship. No, we are to come before the Lord who is holy and pure and righteous. The nature of a sacrifice, well, it means death to the flesh. And think about that in our worship. And therefore, as we come to the Lord, our flesh is not to glory in that. And we are to offer unto the Lord from our hearts that which is pleasing to His holy name. And therefore, any type of performance in worship, any type of the putting forward of the flesh, oh, let us beware of that. That is not good. Nothing is to be done simply out of a matter of form or for the crowd. No, friends. When we come to the Lord, it is to be to worship Him in the beauty of holiness and to give our worship from the heart and only for His glory. We're talking about heart worship, and that's not something that should be mundane, not offered out of a coldness or carelessness. But as we set forth from our spirits, we're worshiping and adoring the omnipotent and the holy and the majestic God of heaven and earth. But alas, sometimes we come into God's presence and we're weary, we're tired. It's been a hard week. So many things have been upon us. And then we come think, oh, well, I don't have any more effort, any more energy. I'm all tired out. Ah, friend, we must check our spirits at that point. We must dig down deeper into our soul and to our spirit. For Psalm 33, verse 1 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is fitting. It is right for the upright to do." And if God says that our worship is appropriate, it's what we are to do for Him and to Him, and let us be mindful of the great meaning of praise in our sacrifice as we come before Him. Notice in the second place that this sacrifice of praise, it is by Him. Now look back again at the words of verse 15 of Hebrews 13. For the apostle says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." Every thought and every action of the saved sinner, it can only be done through Christ. That is, every thought and action that will be acceptable to the Lord in our worship. Yes, we are to offer our praise by Christ. We're to offer our praise and our sacrifice through Him. The Lord Jesus said in John 15 that without Me, you can do nothing. All that we are to give unto the Lord, it must come through our Lord Jesus. We have no other argument and no other plea. Before God, it's the finished work of our Lord Jesus whereby we approach to Him. In our praying, in our praising, in our worship. Yes, I know there are many false religions and religious people think that they're offering worship to God, but in reality it is an offense because they do not come in the only acceptable and right means that a man or a woman can come. Friend, you cannot approach to the presence of God on your own. You cannot come in your own merit, in your own pathway. That's exactly what Cain thought he could do. But God rejected his sacrifice. And the Lord will reject any sacrifice or any offering that is deemed to be presented on any other ground, but that one and only ground that is acceptable to Him. Our offering must come through Christ. It cannot come by in any other way. Our Lord Jesus, He is that altar which sanctifies both the gift and the giver. He is the one through whom we must come. The Father in heaven is pleased only when praise is given through His only begotten Son, because Jesus Christ abides in the very heart and life of the believer. My friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, if you're not saved, you have never personally accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, then you cannot come to Him. You cannot come to God. The only way that a person can come to the Father is to come through the Son, the way He has prepared, the way that God has made. So Christ is the very center of our coming to be accepted to the Lord by justification, and He's the only way that we can come to the Lord and present our sanctified worship. The sacrifice that we offer of praise, it is and it must come through Him. Please notice the third place tonight, that this sacrifice of praise, it is a great privilege. It's a great privilege granted to us. You know, we are not to be part-time Christians who only engage in our worship of the Lord on the Lord's Day, on Sundays when we come in, morning, evening service, or maybe on a Wednesday night. No, that's not to be. Our thinking, if it is that way, it must be altered, it must be fixed. For the believer, there should be no division between secular and sacred. And I know we sometimes use these distinctions to define employment situations or maybe said that which is opposed to ministry. But in the Christian's life, we are not to be thinking, oh, that's secular and this is sacred. No, everything is to be sacred in a believer's life. Everything must be viewed as our life being lived through Christ. And when that is the point, friend, we realize what a great privilege that God has set upon us. We are called the ambassadors of Jesus. And if we are His ambassadors, it means that our praise is always to be representing Him. Our life is to be a life of praise. A life devoted unto Him. If there is one thing that is, it might be easy to say, but not to do, this would be it. It's very easy to praise God when things are all going well, when the sun is shining. But it's not so easy to praise God when the world has seemed to have fallen out from underneath you. And when there is no clearance of the clouds and the storm is intensifying, it's hard to praise God when you don't seem to have enough in the bank account to pay the bills. It's difficult when, my dear friends, you've been looking for an answer from God, whether it is employment or the meeting of some need, and you're stretched to the limit and you don't seem to have an answer for it. How can you praise God then when it seems He's not supplying your need? It seems that way. That is exactly, my dear friends, when our faith must come into play in our life. Life causes our circumstances to change in a moment, it seems, and sometimes for the very worse. I think back to the situation that happened with Brother Kevin MacLeod. Several years ago, when we heard of him and his wife Thelma on vacation in Austria, and in the evening, it just changed in a moment for Kevin. He suffered a stroke that has altered his life from that time to now. And really, in the events that happened afterward, it was near his death, but he was airlifted by ambulance back from there over to Northern Ireland and there into hospital. And in the long hours, days, months, and now into years of recovery, and you know the outcome of that changed his life in a moment. He's no longer in the ministry, in the congregation, in the church where he was preaching faithfully. He loved his people loved him. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, things changed. And how can you enter in by faith at that time to give praise to God? It seems impossible. It can only be done, my brother and sister, at that moment through the eyes of faith. It can only be done when you realize that we are ambassadors to Christ. His hand is on our lives. He is directing us on a course and a path that we did not plan, but our loving Father in heaven did. Can we rest in Him then? It's easy to do it when the sunshine is there, but it's very, very hard to do it when everything has changed and the plans have gone in a very different way. It is then that the grace of faith must be put into our lives, and we will see then that His ways are right and true, and His ways are perfect in our lives. There is a hymn that is written that is based upon Habakkuk chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, and the words of the hymn, "God is the treasure of my soul." Listen to these words. "What though no flowers the fig tree clothe, though vines their fruit deny, the labor of the olive fail, and fields no meat supply, though from the fold with sad surprise my flock cut off I see, though famine pine in empty stalls where herds were wont to be, yet in the Lord will I be glad and glory in His love. In Him I'll joy, who will the God of my salvation prove." That, friend, is the eye of faith. When everything that we once knew has gone from us. And dear friends, as we think about that tonight, there is great opportunity the Lord gives us to praise Him at all times. We've been praying for our sister Serene tonight and this morning and in our past prayer meetings, and we continue to uphold our sister in the Lord. She's going through a very dark valley right now, and with her health concerns. This is a challenge to her faith, no doubt. But let us pray that she will shine more brightly than ever before through this time of her trial, that she will be able to praise God and to offer the sacrifice of praise. Isn't that where it really enters in? A sacrifice of praise then? You know, in Christ Jesus and being grounded in Him, well, it is then that we come to offer that sacrifice of praise with a willing heart. We offer it with a determined and a devoted heart to the Lord. And we pray it will be with a continued zeal in praise and thanksgiving to Him. We're told in our text tonight that this sacrifice that we offer will bear fruit unto the Lord. the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's what we are called to give unto the Lord, the sacrifice of our thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praising God for His mercies and blessings, thanking the Lord for all that we have in Christ, not only blessings here, provision here, help here, but a home in glory to come. A spirit of thanksgiving is what we are called to offer unto the Lord, and He has blessed us with a testimony. But is our testimony a bright one? Well, we are called to give thanks to God and let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We know that our good works cannot get us into heaven, for this is only by the Lord's grace, but our doing good is an evidence. It's the fruit that we are the children of God. Yes, and so we are offering to the Lord the fruit of our lips. We're commanded here also to communicate to other believers. That's what we're told in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Let us be a part of the fellowship and the body of believers. Because, friends, we're not to be an island to operate on our own, but we are to be those who reach out to others, because we need also, when others reach out to us, we're part of the body of Jesus. We are members of that body. When one member is hurting, we all hurt. And therefore, we are to reach out and to communicate, because, and here is where I conclude tonight, that these sacrifices, they are well pleasing to God. They're well pleasing to the Lord. Oh, how precious this is tonight. Let us say, therefore, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For when we consider that the sacrifices that we offer, the Christian blessings and of praise and worship, they are through Christ. They're by Him. It is a great privilege that we have to offer them. And the sacrifices that we give, they indeed bear fruit. Let them bear more spiritual fruit in our lives and for His eternal glory. We're going to sing a hymn tonight in closing as we prepare for a communion time, a time of praise. And our closing hymn tonight is number 46, O Worship the King. This is a great hymn. And if you're not able to stay for the communion service tonight, then we ask you to remain until we finish the first verse, and then you're welcome to leave after that if you must. Let's stand to sing.